The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning, and welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We're located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, but this morning, thanks to the wonders of Zoom and the internet, we're as close as your home. We're a Unitarian Universalist congregation dedicated to nurturing the spirit and transforming the world. I'm Preston Lutweiler, President of the Board of Trustees, and I want to personally welcome you this morning, wherever you are on your life journey, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whomever you love, whatever your gender identity or expression, we welcome you into our ever-expanding circle of compassion and caring. If you're visiting us today, you'll notice on the Zoom chat, a link to our virtual visitor card. And this is a way for us to connect with you and you with us. So please fill it out at any time during the service. Thank you. Now, our Soul Matters theme for April is awakening. And today, as we emerge from the grips of this past week's hard freeze, hard to remember that, and look for signs of awakening in the natural world around us, like the daffodils and the forsythia and the trees blooming, we might also look for an awakening in our hearts to an understanding that we occupy the homelands of a people who lived by many of our UU principles. Like our belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person, our first principle, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, our second principle, and respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are all a part, our seventh principle. The images on the cover of the Order of Service in the introductory slide are of Chief Tamenend and a painting by Thomas Hicks depicting the signing of the first treaty between the Pennsylvania colonists and the Lenape. In 1683, Tamenend was the chief of chiefs of the Lenape, and he signed the first of eight treaties between the Lenape and the colonists under a large elm tree at Shackamaxon, which we know today as Kensington, Fishtown, and Port Richmond. Tamenend was chief of the Turtle Clan, or the Unami. The eight treaties with the Pennsylvania colonists were just the beginning of a string of 26 treaties that the Lenape people, with the Lenape people, that were all broken. For 10,000 years, the Lenape occupied what is now New Jersey, Delaware, Eastern Pennsylvania, and Southern New York. For 300 years, war, disease, deceit, and violence forced them out of their homelands and west, first to Ohio, then Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, some to Canada. They left behind ancestral burial grounds that were excavated and desecrated by colonial archaeologists, grave robbers, and curiosity hunters. Remains and funerary items were dispersed to universities, museums, and private collectors. The Lenape and their allies have spent years recently repatriating just a small fraction of these remains and objects of cultural patrimony. On April 11th, remains of 200 individuals will be returned to Lenape land near Pensbury Manor in Bucks County. There is hope that this will be a small step on a path toward eventual justice, truth, and reconciliation with this land's original inhabitants. Ann Rostowski will now read our chalice lighting words once more by Amy Bowden Freeman.
Good morning. Our chalice lighting words, as Preston said, are from Once More by Amy Bowden Freeman. Once more, the earth has turned toward the light of the sun. Not today, it's raining, but as we are bathed in the light of a new day, so may we greet the dawning of fresh possibility. Once more, we awaken from our slumber, Come, let us worship. And now Preston will light the peace lamp.
I will light the peace lamp, and you will follow my words with and with all the people of the world. May peace be with us and with all the people of the world. Our gathering song today is hymn number 121, We'll Build a Land. The music is by Carolyn McDade. The original words were by Barbara Zanotti. It's always been one of my favorite UU hymns. And Mo Mack and John and Cynthia Bowling have changed a few of the words and added another verse and made it, in my opinion, even better. So I really like this version. Please listen and enjoy.
Captives go free, where the oil of gladness dissolves all mourning. We'll build a promised land that can be. Come build a land where sisters and brothers, filled with the Spirit, may then create peace. For justice shall roll down like waters, and peace like an ever-flowing stream. Tidings to all the afflicted and all those who mourn, and we'll give them garlands instead of ashes. We'll build a land where peace is born. Come build a land where sisters and brothers, filled with the Spirit, may then create peace, where justice shall roll down like waters, and peace like an
Our speaker today is John Thomas, an elder and a goodwill ambassador for the Delaware Tribe of Indians in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. He'll be joining us by Zoom from Bartlesville, but he's going to be up in this area next week, and Judy Lofton will talk a little bit more about some of the things that are going to be happening in our local community. Mr. Thomas was at Wounded Knee in 1973. Several years later, he was at a conference in Tehran during the hostage crisis, and he served as an ambassador exchanging mail between the hostages and their families. He has been a seeker of truth and reconciliation in human relations for his people and for all people. May his message be an awakening for all of us. John?
Willie Kiski, Nila, Napi, Shivono, Salagi, and Muskogee. greetings to you. I just said my, introduced my four tribes that I am of. That would be the Lenape, would be the Delaware. Shawano would be the Shawnee. Muscogee would be the Creeks. And Itsalagi would be the Cherokee. That is my, of my descendants. We did our particular, say, when you do the your check of your ancestry, and we were able to come all the way back into Pennsylvania. Chief Anderson was my, where I descend from, and his dad was actually, I think he was a Swedish man, if I'm not mistaken. But there was a place over there by York, Pennsylvania, called on the Pushquahana River back in the 1700s. And they had a ferry, and it was called Anderson Ferry. And that man there was friends with the Lenapes, and he married a Lenape lady. Matter of fact, she was the daughter of the chief. Anyway, that's where my particular lineage come with the Anderson side. And it's anyway, it's complicated. I could get into a lot of my past relation like that, you know, being the descendant also on my Shawnee side with the Tecumseh. We follow, our genealogy goes right to him also, back, you know, et cetera. And it was really something, Tecumseh had a brother, and he was known as, his Indian name was Tiswana Hawi, and but he was also known as the prophet. And back in his days, he was the one that predicted an eclipse and was got to be kind of like a well-known in spiritual power and a prophet. But the prophet, after the war in 1812, but anyway, the prophet did end up in Oklahoma, I mean, in Kansas. That's where he died. And so he had also relatives, and their last name would have been Prophet. So on my grandmother's side, on the Delawares, I go through the Prophet. On my grandmother's side, on my Shawnee side, I am related to his brother, Tecumseh. So that's, anyway, just to share that information to you, some of my historical connections. And there's a lot of other, you know, like people that we hear about in the past and stuff like that. But I appreciate the introduction about our burial coming up on April 11th. And last July, I came into your area in Collegeville. At the time, we were getting ready for the reburial, let's say, our archaeologists and the people who does that type of work to retrieve the remains from the university. There's paperwork, there's laws, there's this, there's that. And once that was done and completed, we was able to recover about 200 remains and over 10,000 funerary objects as well. That and so we are ready to... We had an earlier date on October the 4th that we were going to reinter, but the COVID, the new Delta virus of the COVID disease caused us to postpone it until now, April 11th. And so anyway, it gave us the time to kind of like work with the Perkiomen Valley School District. It also Ursinus College and some of the community. We was able to touch base with a lot of the different mayors in your different boroughs and try to let them be aware of us coming back to our homeland and what was going to take place with this reburial. And it's going to be the first time in maybe 250, 300 years that all five nations of the Lenape nations, once we were moved, we split up for different reasons. We have five different nations now. There's three in the U.S. and two in Canada that survived. In the two in the United States would be two in Oklahoma and one in Wisconsin. Okay, it's complicated, but anyway. So that's the extent of our nations now is the five. They're all going to be gathering at the same time for this reburial April 11th. It'll be the first time that we've been together in that long. There's been times when maybe some of us would gather, but it was never got to be of anything with multitude. And we're hoping that all of the five chiefs or their spokesperson or whoever will be able to, on April the 12th, after the April 11th burial, we want to come to Earth Sinus College and we want to do a meet and greet there. And I think they have some other plans. So maybe all of our five chiefs can maybe you'd be able to meet them then. And we're looking forward to the exchange. I know that there's been some hard work with community members who's been preparing for our arrival. The Welcome Home Committee include this whole Perkiomen Valley area. There's a lot of people that are very interested in welcoming the Lenape back to our homeland. And we try to work on some things that we could probably do to that would be appropriate for us. And the short amount of time that we're going to be there and be able to have that type of a meet and greet and say hello to each other, a fellowship and a friendship. Allies, also looking for allies. But this reburial, back to the reburial, Pinsbury Manor is where the reburial site will be. And that was the old walk and purchase treaty land during the William Penn era in the 1600s. I don't know if you guys ever got to study anything about William Penn, Pennsylvania, and his influence. But anyway, that's where the location will be. And that will happen on April 11th. And then April 12th, we'll be coming over to Earth Sinus College. So we want to continue on with this work. And sometimes it's kind of, we're not leaving this time. We always want to have somebody stay behind to do the necessary follow-up work that is going to have to be done with these communities, because we have so many ideas that we would like to explore and to develop. We want to have a student exchange type of program with our Lenape children and your children there at the Perkiomen Valley schools. That is in the making, that we could do something along that line. And I know there's the arboretums that the Perkiomen Valley School District is involved in. They want to include us in the Lenape arboretum portion of their efforts. And on April 10th, I forgot to mention, I'm sorry about that, but on April 10th, we will be there at the I think it's the West High School or West Elementary School is who's there, that Logan, is that who? But anyway, we're going to be there on the 10th, and I think you may hear more about that later. 10th, 11th, and 12th is we have a day scheduled to be in the area. We'll be coming in early. One of the things that we'll have to do logistically is that we're going to have to replace a lot of these remains earlier. And as you can imagine, the logistics of it, we're going to have to bringing some heavy equipment, some bulldozer type of equipment, in order to dig a grave of that size, a mass grave, bulldoze down 4 feet. And I forget a large, anyways, then we're going to have to come in with some equipment and dig trenches another 2 foot deep in order for us to go to satisfy the 6 foot depth and lay our remains. And so we got 200. We got 200 boxes that we'll be placing these ancestors in. But anyway, that type of work, a lot of it will be done ahead of time, like on the 7th, 8th, 9th, like that. And we hope to have it all done before the 11th so that we don't have a grave of that magnitude, you know, visible. But so that's some of the work that we'll be doing ahead of time to make preparations for this April 11th ceremony. And all of the five chiefs will be there, and we will allow all of them a time to address their ancestors in whatever fashion or way that they would, whatever songs that they do back in our homes. Some of us, we haven't been together, you know, with each other either, you know, say the Oklahoma Delawares. We haven't had a chance to really say intermingle with our brothers and sisters up in Canada that often as a community. It's getting a little bit better where we now, because social media, blah, 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 we can kind of like do a little bit more things together again. And just like this reburial here will also unite us more. And so that we can kind of like, so that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we may have a little bit different versions on how we might want to respect our ancestors. And so we'll give them each of the five different nations whatever time that they need to address that at that time on February 11th. Later on after that day, I think we're going to open the gates to everybody. We're going to try to do a lot of this stuff privately, the ended portion of it. Some of the things that we would like to do during that address that on the reburial, some of it we don't want it recorded. And it's kind of more of a private thing like that. We we'll try to keep it along that line first, and then we'll open the gates for the public to come in and to pay their respect. Then later on, we'll hope to have a dinner, or we'll have a dinner. We usually, anytime that we have burials, even today, and we're going to do it in this fashion also with our ancestors, that we will have that last dinner with them at noon. And that's just some of our tradition here back home. And I know it is with some of our other Delaware nations also. We always try to have, you know, this taken care of before noon. And at that time, there also will be a chance for the public to intermingle and break bread and enjoy company with us. Again, they probably will have, you know, we don't want this burial to be, it's not a sad affair, you know, like if you just lost a loved one today, a mom or a grandmother, a husband, wife, or even a son, daughter, whatever, it would be sad, you know. Our relatives here, these grandparents, they already had their ceremony. They already are there in that next world. They just, years later, they were disturbed like that. And we don't have a way of doing this, you know, like how to rebury your remains. And so we've had some experience in the past, and it's always got to be done with that utmost respect and forgiveness. And So it's not like that. So we're taking it as a satisfaction. You know, we got to do it. More of a happy moment, or like that we reinterred some of them. And yet we still have thousands with an S to go. So we'll be that's none of the things that we have to kind of like plea for is land back. We're looking for other places that we might be able to rebury our ancestors. We're searching different areas out there, individuals. There's some organizations, there's the state, there's the federal government, other entities who may want to come forward and say, hey, I got a place for you to bury your ancestors, you know. And so that's, I guess you would say, the land back kind of a campaign. That's the type of land back we want, is burial sites and ceremonial sites for our ancestors. And when we come back to our homeland, we'll have some place to come to. Because as you know, we have no land left in our homeland. And sometimes most of our sacred sites, our prayer sites in the past, have been is restricted to us. It's usually private owned or state owned. And we have a hard time accessing some of these places to, you know, maybe pray the way we want to. I need to check. How's my time?
John, thanks. You're right on time, and I want to thank you very much and wish you all the best in your and your tribe's endeavors here in this reburial. Two important points that you made is that the Lenape have no land left in their homeland.
Yes.
Think about that. They once controlled all of the land that we're on now. And they have to beg for land for a reburial. John told me that these remains come from a large burial site that was in New Jersey. That was the Abbott Farm, I guess Abbott Dairies. And those graves were desecrated over the years once the Lenape were forced out. And the remains were scattered to universities and private collectors. And there have been archaeologists who have been working now for years to repatriate those remains. And now we're talking about just reburying 200 of them. There are probably thousands of graves that were originally at this site and other sites in the Lenape lands. This is really quite a big deal that, and it's happening in our backyard. The fact that we have representatives from all five nations of the Lenape who have been scattered into two countries coming back here next week to our backyard is pretty amazing. So on April 11th is when the reburial ceremony will sort of conclude, and members of our local community in Collegeville and Perkiomen Valley School District, as John said, are joining them in the series of events to welcome the Lenape back to their homeland. And one of the local people who is an ambassador for our people to theirs is Judy Crespo Lofton, who I have known for years who's involved with the planning of these events, and she'll tell you a little bit more about them. And there's a couple of flyers outside in the lobby if you'd like to know more about the upcoming events next week. So Judy, come on up.
Thank you, Preston. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning and talk with you. As Mr. Thomas has mentioned, the Perkiomen Valley School District has been in the process of developing an arboretum, which we have named as the Lenape Arboretum. And as part of that development, we have formed a relationship with the Lenape tribes with the goal of learning the history of the Lenape directly from the Lenape, and allowing them an opportunity to have a say and a voice in how we are teaching the students in the district about the history of the Lenape. And the overall goals of the development of the Arboretum are to learn about the history and the roots of our community, and also to advance environmental stewardship. And it's been also a goal of our connecting with the Lenape to understand their relationship with the earth and the environment and what we can learn from them. So we are very truly honored to have the opportunity to be helping to host the Lenape when they travel here next week. We are putting together a community day celebration to help welcome them and showcase our community so that the Lenape have the opportunity to learn about us as the current inhabitants of this land. Everybody in the community is invited out for the community day. We also will be having a dedication ceremony for the Arboretum, and then a feast. As Mr. Thomas had mentioned earlier, the meal aspect is very much an important part of welcoming and honoring our Lenape visitors. And so we are having a potluck feast. All members of the community are welcome to show up, bring a meal, and have the opportunity to share in conversation and a meal with the Lenape. So I'll be here after the service if anyone has any questions or any comments that they want to share with me.
Thank you, Judy. And this raises the question, might there be lessons that we can learn from the Lenape and an opening for truth and reconciliation in our past and present relationships with them and with our shared planet? We're going to have a musical meditation, Return Again, which will be followed by Matters of the Heart. To conclude our service. Return to who you are.
Come to that part of our service called Matters of the Heart. This is a part of our service where you may share a joy that's lifting you up or a concern that's weighing you down with our community. We are operating today in our hybrid mode, so we have people here in the sanctuary as well as people on Zoom, and we will do this the way we've done this the last few weeks. So those in the sanctuary will be invited to come up to the front and share their joy or sorrow into the microphone on the stage. And then once we've gone through everybody in the sanctuary who is interested in sharing, then we will provide some additional instructions on joining by Zoom or providing a joy or sorrow through Zoom. Prior to that, we are going to have our musical interlude. So I invite you all to gather your thoughts and listen to an instrumental musical interlude entitled Prayer Shawl, which is composed and performed by Christine Perry. So we are going to bring this time of sharing to a close by playing Spirit of Life. This version is being performed by the First Parish Brewster UU Choir with words and music by Carolyn McDade. And the words will appear in the video on the screen for you.
Now I would like to close with words from John O'Donohue from Beauty, The Invisible Embrace. We live between the act of awakening and the act of surrender. Each morning we awaken to the light of the invitation to a new day in the world of time. Each night we surrender to the dark to be taken to play in the world of dreams where time is no more. At birth we are awakened and emerged to become visible in the world. At death, we will surrender again to the dark to become invisible. Awakening and surrender, they frame each day and each life. Between them, the journey where anything can happen, the beauty and the frailty. Now, Anne will help me extinguish the chalice.
As we greet the natural world around us, awakening to spring, and I think the sun is coming out now, we welcome the descendants of the original inhabitants of this land back to their homelands. We extinguish the flame of this chalice, but not its light, which we will take into the world to lead us to a path of understanding, truth, and reconciliation.
Our closing song is Land of Silver Birch, performed by Michael Mitchell. And then following the closing song, Linda Weaver will give the announcements.
My paddle's keen and bright, flashing with silver. Follow the one who's flight. Dip, dip, and swing. Dip, dip, and swing her back, flashing with silver. Swift as the one who's flies. Dip, dip, and swing. Land of the silver birch, home of the beaver, where still the mighty moose wanders at will. Blue lake and rocky shore, I will return once more. Boom diddy yada, boom diddy yada, boom diddy yada, boom. High on a rocky ledge, I'll build my wigwam, close to the water's edge, silent and still. Blue lake and rocky shore, I will return once more. Swim diddy yada, boom diddy yada, boom. Sing for thee here in the lowlands. I will return to the hills of the north. Blue lake and rocky shore, I will return once more. Swing diddy yada, boom diddy yada, boom diddy yada, swing.